time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back again, and good morning to all. And Jeff Ruth is here with me today. Scott Spears is gallivanting around the building here. And Jeff, it's good to see you again. It's been a while.
Good to be back.
Well, we go back quite a ways, but in between us going back quite a ways, I for 10 years was with a competing station. And when it came Groundhog Day, you'd never believe what happened, because, I had had the media there prior to me going to WDIF. But after I left, what we did, Ellen Messenger and I would walk into the woods there with a tape recorder and do a little dissertation on the groundhog and then go away, and we'd always look over to see if anybody saw us at the radio station.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's something that's never been brought out.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, we would make a trip there and walk through the woods.
And as well as I know Ellen, she never mentioned that.
Is that
so
right?
I didn't know that.
Well, Ellen and I worked together for a long time at WDIF. She was the print media.
Yeah.
And at one time, I was editor of a senior citizen magazine we published, and she was my editor. And, we used to go out and survey restaurants for good meals for seniors. So it was a lot of fun, free food. of course, I always had my column when I went to MRN or DIF. I still wrote my weekly column in News Life for, more than 10 years every week. And somewhere I've got a few of those, but it's fun to go back and see. I commented about things going on in Marion.
Mm-hmm. I remember those columns.
Yeah, it's interesting to go back and see what was said. Oh, my goodness. But I noticed this morning the cement block is going up for the new at the cigar store. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, it's on, across from the courthouse. And they tore out the cigar store.
Right, I knew that.
And now they're putting up a new wall. It's amazing what they can do in the middle of winter. There must be something they put in cement to keep it from freezing too fast or solidifying too fast. But that's going to be a grocery store.
Right, knew that.
Yeah, and looks like it's going to be pretty good size, but they're beefing up the old building and adding a lot of new to it. So, that will be interesting. But a lot of things going on in Marion, but, downtown especially. It's going to be interesting to see in the long run just how things go. Yeah, okay. Very good. A little technical adjustment here. All right, now, once again, I've got those free kids' meals to give away, two of them, I understand these both go to the same person, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Whoever wins gets both.
And when is the drawing for these?
Around 12:15 to 12:30,
okay.
Somewhere around in there.
And so when somebody calls with the correct answer for anything, I write their name down, then we do that drawing. And so what do I do for questions? Since you were going to be on today, I figured, well, I won't need to come up with any questions because I got Jeff on.
And here Scott was saying you'll have a lot of trivia questions this morning.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh, yes.
Well, I do have several trivias, more of the recent times, and it's kind of interesting. For instance, on State Street, there was an automotive parts company. There was Cooper at the corner of Church and Vine, and then there was one on State Street. And of course, there's one south on Prospect Street, Napa. But I want to know the name of the one that was on State Street. And I think it's gone, has been gone now for quite a while. But I remember I worked in an automotive parts store when I first got in the working field. And when Napa came to town, it kind of wiped us out. They just kind of took over. They had such a great selection of product. But anyhow, this one I'm asking you. Oh, okay. Here's somebody that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, that was Universal Auto Parts.
Hey, boy, you're right on. Elsie, how you?
Yes. Yeah. I'm doing well.
Yeah,
I'm doing well.
Yeah. Well, that's more than I can say about other people.
yeah. I enjoy the show.
Okay, good. Okay, your name's in the drawing.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Elsie. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, yes. And let's see, what else am I going to mention here? I'm trying to think. Jeff, wait till you get a little bit older.
I can wait.
Oh, yes, because when you get older, things just don't pop up in your, you know, like they used to. And I use a lot of things that I can remember. When I came to Marion in 52, you came in what year?
79.
Okay, so there's a little difference between our, we all came, both came from a different town originally. But I got acquainted with Marion. Well, in fact, one of my trivia questions would be this. There used to be a restaurant south of the radio station, and I don't know if it was still there when you, there was another restaurant, too, I want to ask about it. But this restaurant was like kind of the high-class restaurant in Marion. There was a little man outside the restaurant holding a lantern in his hand, and it had in its name something to do with horse racing, this restaurant. And it was good. They had good steak and everything. And that was the place to go, Jeff. Wow. That was before we had all these other restaurants. And it was on the west side of North Main Street, just down south of Channel 39. But if you can name that restaurant, why, I'll get you in the drawing here. No matter, you can call as often as you like, I understand.
Yep. Would it be down by where Stewart's is or further
across
down?
Across the street.
Okay.
And down a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Jockey Steakhouse.
Yeah, Jockey Steakhouse. Remember that, Jeff?
I don't remember
that. Okay, that was gone when you came. Okay, now what's your name? I'll put you in for the drawing.
Lisa Barnwell.
Lisa, how are you doing, Lisa?
I'm okay.
Okay. All right, well, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
When you said horse racing, I thought of Trotters.
Oh, Trotters, yeah, south of, south on Route 4, was it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
423
Well, we teased you about 9:30. Scott had brought up, or somebody called in about Mike Davis.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Charlie's got a Mike Davis story. So
oh, yeah.
Before we go too far, we probably should tell the Mike Davis story.
Yes. Yeah. Years ago, wait, I got another phone call here. Yes, caller, go ahead. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Charlie Evers.
Hey, Martha, what's happening?
Well, I am so happy to hear the most wonderful man in radio.
Oh, Arthur Godfrey.
I am so happy to hear Jeff Bruce.
Yeah, yeah, Jeff's here. Boy, he's got a smile as wide as a barn door.
You guys were the king of radio.
Oh. So, you were the king of dancing, weren't you?
The queen of dancing.
The queen. The queen, yeah.
I've danced for 77 strong years.
Oh, one of these days you'll get it right. How's your fire-eating baton?
Well, my mother bought that baton for me, and I soaked it in white gas.
In white gas? That's the kind you put in Coleman lanterns.
What?
Yeah, okay. So you put white gas in the ends of your baton and gave her a whirl.
Yep.
You never burned yourself, though, did you?
No, I did not. I learned how to do that.
But 50 members of the audience caught. Oh, my. Yeah, I never got to see you use your fire-eating baton.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I taught a little boy, Michael Fellerbaum, how to do the back bend, and he got to be drum major at Michigan State, Charlie.
No kidding. Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
And Joe and I raised $90,000 for leukemia. I'm proud of that.
Yes, I remember that.
And don't you love Bucyrus, Ohio?
Oh, yes. I was born there on Plants Way, right across from the hospital.
I know it.
My parents were too poor to have me born in a hospital, so I still have the bed I was born in. I sleep in it every night. No wonder I can't sleep.
Did you remember my Aunt Grace and Uncle Earl?
Your Grace, that the truck driver? She drove.
Grace and Earl lived right next door to you.
Oh, okay, yeah. But Grace used to drive a grain truck for her husband, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've made my day complete, mister.
Well, good. Okay. Well, I hope the rest of it's okay.
I'm glad your mother had you and Jeff Ruth.
Yeah. My mother didn't have Jeff Ruth, she had me. Yeah, okay.
Have a blessed day.
All right, thank you, Martha.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Martha. Yeah, the one and only Martha does.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, here's another caller. Okay, go ahead.
I have a question for you, Charlie.
Oh, go right ahead.
The Jockey Steakhouse.
Yes.
There used to be another restaurant just north of there, and we used to have a grocery store in town by the same name.
Oh, really? Not the Red Apple?
No.
Okay, what was the name of your store?
Wise's Restaurant.
Oh, Wise's Restaurant. Where was it located?
It was located it's beside the veterinarian office.
Okay.
Oh, that we used to have Wise's grocery store on Center Street. It burned down.
Yes, I know. I saw it burn, yeah.
So did I.
Yes, a long time ago. And we used to have WMRN used to broadcast them there 2 to 4 every afternoon, Monday through Friday.
Hmm.
And a program called, what did they call it, the Magic Carpet or something like that. Yeah, we pulled out of there just before it burned. Thank goodness. Okay, well, thanks for... Oh, hey, let me put your name down and put you in the drawing.
You already did.
Oh, okay. Good enough.
This is Lisa.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah, Jeff?
So what did you do then between 2 and 4?
Between 2 and 4? Oh, played music.
Okay.
Joe Peters built turntables, a pair of them, and so, and I remember, we had Martin Petrie, was one of the disc jockeys. Martin joined us as a night announcer and did a program called Club Request, which originally was Club 1490 Records. Kids used to come out from Harding High School and watch us play records. Oh, boy, you can see that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. They don't do that anymore. Now you press a button and the music plays without any solid records. But Martin Petrie had gone on vacation. He was from the South to begin with. And when he came back, he noticed a grocery store down south had a phrase, prices are born here and raised all over the country. And he brought that slogan back to Wise's Supermarket. And they used it. And Martin later on went to work for WMNI in Columbus.
Okay.
And I think he died while working. He was their news director. And he passed away. But I remember he graduated from Ohio State University when he was working at the radio station. And he drove a 1939 Ford Coupe. That was a long time ago. Martin Petrie. So, but you started in what year was it now again?
79.
79, okay. 79 was the year that, 10 years behind that is when the Peanut Push started and the Groundhog.
Yep, and talk about the Groundhog, obviously, since it's coming up on Sunday.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about the origins and the Mike.
That's right. I was going to start with
the Mike Davis story.
Oh, the Mike Davis, yeah. So, anyhow, I needed a Groundhog. There were hundreds of them over there south of the radio station, but you don't wander around and reach down and grab one, put him in a cage. So I needed a groundhog badly, and a listener called up. They lived on Oak Street, I think. And they said, "Evers, we got a groundhog here if you want it." And
Scott,
I thought,
you know, I love fruitcake. So
we'll be right back.
For me, it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake, and oh, the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again with Jeff Ruth and, okay, the story about Mike Davis. So a listener called me up on Oak Street and said, "Well, Evers, no problem with your groundhog. We've got one here in a bucket in our front yard." Oh, this is too good to be true. So I went down and picked up the bucket and the groundhog and took it back to the radio station, and I made a little cage for it. And I thought, well, here's the groundhog ready to go. And about a day before, well, it must have been January the 28th or 9th, I looked in the cage and the groundhog was dead. And I turned him over, and he because he was unable to chew like most groundhogs do to keep their teeth trimmed down, this groundhog, his teeth grew through his nose. Oh, my. What a sight, with teeth sticking through his nose, and he starved to death. Well, so I thought, I got to have a groundhog. He's coming up tomorrow or the next day. And so I took him and went over the woods and made a little straw bed, and I stretched him out. He was starting to curl up. I stretched him out because the telegraph form called, is, "Can we come down and get a picture of the groundhog?" I said, "Sure." Well, that was before I found out he was dead. Sarah, Well, when Mike Davis found this out on Channel 10, he said to everybody in the listening audience, yeah, Mary, they got a dead groundhog.
He came up, right?
I don't know if he was up or not.
Yeah, I think he came up.
He was up, I think, at, 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning to do the reports. Okay. And then when he went back to Columbus, like his noon
broadcast,
and then he said, I'll never go back to Marion again. They had a dead groundhog. Yeah, so much for Groundhog Day.
Right. Yeah. So that was the only time I had a real problem with a groundhog. Every other year, the state of Ohio, Department of Natural Resources, provided my groundhog. They kept it down at Deer Creek State Park, and they had it boxed up and nailed shut. And, well, obviously, it had some air get in it. And so Bill Runnels, the state game protector from Marion County, would bring it up a day or so before the Groundhog Day. And we'd uncrate it and then kind of step back a little bit because he said a lot of times when they wake up, they're not too friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's the way we did it for years. And there are pictures available showing Bill Runnels holding the groundhog. Then I held it for 45 minutes and let kids pet it. You couldn't do that now. I understand that a groundhog can easily bite you.
Yeah.
Did you ever get bit?
Nope, never did.
Okay, you never stuck your finger in the cage.
No, never did.
Well, then one year, too, I had him in a wire cage, and when it came the time, I opened the cage door up. And he looked at me, and I told him, I said, don't bite me. And so he got all himself together and zoom. That was the last we saw of Buckeye Chuck that day.
Oh, really? Okay.
He disappeared in the woods.
Oh.
But now, here's another thing. On Channel 6, Kelly, let's see, she's the oldest reporter, I think, other than that, Lou Ann Stoya. Kelly, she's on every day. What's her full name?
Well, there's a Terry Sullivan that's been there.
Yeah, that's Terry.
Okay, yeah.
That's Terry
Sullivan's been there a long time.
So Terry came up with Channel 6, and I got acquainted with her, and I said, Terry, let me show you some of the birds in the woods. And I took her and walked her all through the briars and everything else. I bet she can remember that yet. And just to show all the wildlife we had other than the groundhog. She probably thought I was crazy, but the things that happen.
And of course, most of these times we're talking temperatures, sometimes zero, some years below zero, if it'd be 20 or 30, but either snow or a lot of times maybe not snow, but just mud.
Oh yeah, nasty. And the first time we displayed the groundhog, I put tied a rope onto the hill that used to be beside us before Channel 39 leveled that off, and I put a rope around a tree and let people pull on the rope and climb up the hill to supposedly see the groundhog. And there's a picture, Steve Stewart and I bending down to the groundhog den with a microphone. It got in a national magazine. And I thought, well, that put Marion, out in front. And the Weather Channel had Buckeye Chuck on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a good thing for Marion. What really surprised me, though, Jeff, was the Peanut Push never got any interest from outside of Marion. I was always hoping that there'd be a team that get together from outside Marion and challenge.
Yeah. And we've tried, I know, with Jody Reif, of course, she's been, heading that up for so many years. And, and every year we'll call the Columbus media and, love to get somebody up to cover that. And for whatever reason, we just can't get that coverage.
Yeah, isn't that something? And Channel 4 came up one year, and I've got a picture of them with their boom sticking up, taking a video of the Peanut Push, but that's the last time they ever showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's there's another event like that in the country.
No, no.
You know, too, something else that I, in reading the history of Marion, not in the regular history book, but in something else, there was a contest held in Marion called King Kukwa. And it was a, they like we crowned the peanut push winner, they crowned a man and called him King Kukwa, named after Kukwa Ditch. And I always often thought it'd be fun to start that again, a King Kukwa contest. And we could do it, I'm sure. Yeah, back in that era with Gil Gomez and everybody, anything we thought of generally worked out.
Yeah.
And I pushed him across Marion 4.5 miles in a wheelbarrow. And now the son of the man who engineered that wheelbarrow, so I wouldn't lift more than 2 pounds with Gil Gomez in it. He was the janitor of Grand Prairie School. His son, last week, brought in a mincemeat pie and that he made. Oh, it was so good.
Mm.
Did you ever have mincemeat pie?
My mother used for Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
She would always make a mincemeat and a pecan pie.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
Mincemeat's one of those you kind of have to acquire a taste.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, this was so good. And I think that's only probably the second time I ever tried mincemeat pie.
Yeah, she would always make mincemeat and a pecan pie for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
My wife is a pecan pie lover. Oh, boy. But, yeah, it's now here's another interesting thing. People brag about getting pies from different places, and they're so good. We found that Aldi's carry a pie, especially their apple pie. Their pies are made in Canada. And they're as fresh as like they were baked the same day. And they're really good. And you'd never think that a pie made in Canada would get all its way to Marion and really taste like it was just baked.
Mm.
It was good. And well, we need to get somebody registered, too, for these prizes. And let me see here. Okay, we got Universal Motors. Okay, there was a... another automotive parts dealer, south on, let me think, Prospect Street. On the east side of Prospect, before you get to Columbia. What was the name of that? And they may still be there. I would think so. What, and the initials are NAPA. What does that stand for? Okay, if you can answer that, I'll give you a prize or put you in for the drawing. Coming up around 12:30 today. So, Jeff, you're still doing sports at MRN, aren't you?
Still had a game Tuesday night, had a game last night, got a game tonight. So, yeah, still doing a lot of the basketball
games.
What
do you do for an engineer?
You're it.
you
and that's
the whole thing.
And
huh?
That had been the case for a long time.
Really?
We don't
use a Marty anymore.
This is the first year we haven't used the Marty.
Oh, really?
We have a new setup, which really is pretty easy.
No kidding.
Except at River Valley.
Oh.
And
is it cellular?
Yeah. But where we were at in the gym at River Valley, the signal just is, yeah, it's just not a very good signal. And Tuesday night it was at Harding, and last night was at Harding. And makes such a difference when you have a nice,
a
clear
good,
signal.
Yeah.
Because when you don't have a good signal, you're trying, you know, and when you're the only one, you're trying to keep track of who scored what basket, and you're trying to figure out, well, if I do this, and when you're it, it's tough to do. Yeah. And for years, we always had two people doing basketball.
That's right. I was one of those two people for a long time with Ed Paulin.
Yeah.
Sports director. We traveled to Elyria and Sandusky and Fremont.
Well, yeah, Finley.
The bigger cities.
Finley and Lorain, a lot of those schools.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I heard Harding High School was playing a county school.
Yeah, and they're in the MOAC now, so they're they're playing the Pleasants and the River Valleys and schools like that, Ontario, Clear Fork, but... with football, you really need a color person just to, as far as the stats and so forth. Yeah. But yeah, it was for years. Dave Gorin, Flo, and I did basketball, and I always had a color person. And it was probably 20 years ago. It's like, you know, like anything else. Yeah. Oh, you know, one person can do it as well as two.
Yeah. Something, yeah.
But we used to have to take out, you know, the big tower. And you put the antenna on top. And I mean, it'd take you 3 or 4 trips, you know, from the van to go in and get everything turned on. And, you know, there's always the chance, you know, you'd call back.
Am I coming through?
Yep. You'd call back. And remember, years ago, they called it, I think, clipping. Or it's like, if you can hear me, and it wasn't a way to really hear, and they'd like, clip the for like a second. They'd have dead air, and then you knew that you were getting to air.
I used to use a 1,000 cycle tone, just beep, like that.
Mm. But it's so much.
Oh yeah.
It's as you know, it's very aggravating when you don't have a good signal.
Oh yes, I remember being in like Elyria, and connecting up to the wire sticking out of the wall. And then you called back on, if you could find the phone to call back, can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they said, no, you're not coming through. And so then they had to call Big Island. There were two men that worked out of Big Island in Ohio Bell Center there, and they would have to make sure I was patched in, and sometimes I wasn't.
But, you know, it was just, and you'd always get nervous, and I still get nervous before a ball game.
Yeah.
Or what happens if you call the state and nobody's there? Because they always have to have somebody run the game and play the commercials and so forth.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I think only maybe one time did I call, and nobody ever answered. And somebody either forgot that they were supposed to work that night or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, even to this day, as many years as I've been doing that.
Hey, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again to Jeff Ruth. Well, Jeff,
ball games and so forth.
Oh, yes.
And when, say, Harding would say, week 11, they made the playoffs, and they would have a game, say, in Lima.
Yeah.
Well, you would have to call the phone company Monday morning.
Yeah.
And you'd have to order a phone line.
Right.
And sometimes you'd be on the phone sometimes for an hour, hour and a half, trying to get to the right person. They needed the note, you know. Yeah. Well, we can install it, you know, in 3 weeks or whatever. No, we need it for Friday. Well, I'm not sure we can do it Friday, but they'd have to go out and they'd actually have to hook up the phone line, and then, you know, you'd show up and you just hope the phone line was there.
Yeah, I often wonder what that cost.
Yeah.
For the to do that.
Yeah.
But,
we used to order at the Coliseum in Columbus when a lot of the basketball tournament games were played there. And you'd call down, and you might have 4 or 5 games involving, you know, teams from the area.
Right.
And then sometimes, say, stationed in Chillicothe, they might have 2 or 3 teams, and we'd end up basically sharing the cost because we wouldn't have a game where one of the Marion County teams would play one of the area teams from, say, Chillicothe, so we'd end up, you know, splitting the cost.
Yeah. That's something.
Yeah.
Behind-the-scenes action.
And one story, and I don't know if I've told it on this station, but told it, I know when on MRN, it was one of the first years I was doing a tournament game. This is when they had basketball tournament games at the Coliseum
in Marion. Well.
And one of the Marion teams was playing, I think probably one of the Morrow County teams, I don't remember who it was, but there was the person came in, was setting up, and, you know, I'm kind of setting up, and he's setting up, and he had, there's a kind of a trap door at the press box level at the Coliseum,
right,
where you can go up, and he had to go up and put the antenna on top of the roof, part of the, and this is, you know, this is February, and it was, as I recall, it was either very icy or cold or something. And he got up there, and he literally, I mean, he looked down, and he realized how high up he was, and so he grabbed the antenna, he couldn't even move. He couldn't talk or anything, and so the game's getting ready to go on, and I'm starting the game, and somebody came up and said, "What happened to the guy next to you?" And it's like, you know, you don't pay that much attention. Yeah. It's like, he's not, I don't know, he's not here. So the trap door was down. So somebody in the press box looked up, and here's this guy hanging on to the antenna.
Yeah.
Just, you know, scared to death.
Yes.
So they had to call the squad or the fire department.
No kidding.
And really? So I'm broadcasting the game. And there's a couple firemen that are going up right next to me. They're going up, and they were able to finally get him down.
No kidding.
And, of course, obviously he didn't get on the air because he was, you know, scared to death. And that may have been the end of his radio career. I don't know.
Isn't that something,
But, it was because you're on top of that Coliseum roof. I mean, you're a long way up.
And that was Marion?
That was here in Marion, yeah.
Okay, well, I used to have to climb up in the press box and then go across the rafters on a little narrow, you know, and I had to hang on for dear life carrying microphone cables to broadcast the Harding graduation.
Okay.
And then I'd go to about where the platform was and drop the cable down with and then they put a microphone on it below. But just walking that girder, which is very narrow and full of dirt, and that was at least 40 feet up. And, oh, my goodness. But as an engineer at that time, you did anything you had to do.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And 1 year, let's see, it's about 1049 now. 1 year, this is when I was with WDIF. I broadcast from Dave's Ford in Upper Sandusky. And there again, I used the Marty, and it was always, am I going to get through with the Marty? Will it reach there? Well, the farthest I ever had it reach was north of Upper Sandusky at a brand new shopping area they put in up there. And by golly, it worked, but I had to put every section of mast on. And then when I looked up, I got dizzy. It kept weaving back and forth. Oh, my.
Because, you know, and each section was maybe 10 foot tall or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, if you would do a game or a remote somewhere, say in Bucyrus or whatever. I remember doing one at Tyner's. Just north of Bucyrus,
right,
many years ago. And, you know, I'd call back, and it's like, well, I'm getting you, but it's not very clear. And then you'd add, and you're right, and all it took was a strong wind, and it could have fallen on, you know, people or cars or anything.
Well, one year I broadcast from the Morrow County Fair. Well, I did that every year over there. But remember the mast we had on the first unit that used nitrogen gas to...
Oh, yeah.
And it always leaked. And so I would have to go and raise one section at a time and then put a clamp on it because the gas wouldn't hold it up. But then one year, I was at the Morrow County Fair, and I turned on the gas, the nitrogen, and it shot the antenna right off the roof, and it landed on a power line. And there's my antenna hanging from a power line, in which I could have got electrocuted, you know. I can't remember how I finally got it down, but boy, that was an experience and a half.
I had a similar experience. I was doing a basketball game. It was on a Monday night. It was a Ridgedale game, and they were playing up north somewhere.
Yes.
And normally, teams didn't play on a Monday, but the game had been snowed out or whatever, so they rescheduled it for Monday. So I took that the van up, and there had been maybe some ice or something where it had thawed and rethawed or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I went to crank that, the thing just similar
popped
situation
right.
Went straight up.
Yeah.
And it came straight down.
Yeah.
Fortunately, and there were cars on both sides of me.
Yeah.
But it came down
in between,
and it landed on top of the MRN van.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
It put quite a dent on the top. And obviously, yeah. I wasn't going to get on the air. And I remember, so I had to ride back on the Ridgedale bus that night.
No kidding.
And I called Joe Peters.
Oh.
And, of course, Joe wasn't very happy at all.
Yeah.
So the next morning, then, I had to explain what happened. So Joe and I went up, and we got the thing taken care of and drove it back or whatever. But, yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me of the time I broadcast in the Wyandotte County Fair. And that van was old, getting older all the time. And I got just south of Upper Sandusky, and the hose blew off the radiator. And there I am with the van is smoking, or well, steam, and overheating, and I had to shut it off. And so I called, I can't remember how I called, that was before cell phones, but I had to have a wrecker pick me up. And the wrecker hauled me into the fairgrounds. He's talking about being embarrassed.
No.
Here comes the MRN van being towed by a wrecker. Oh.
I had had a game out at Elgin, and I had only been doing sports maybe a couple of years. It was a basketball game. And it was one of those nights where, I mean, it was below zero. And drove the van. I don't think the van even had any heat,
yeah,
as I recall. But I drove maybe a mile. And the van just, I mean, it stalled out.
Right.
And again, this is back before cell phones or anything. And it's a Friday night, and it's, you know, 10:15 or 10:30. And by that time, most of the people that had been to the game had already
gone home,
had already left. And it was too far to walk to a house. And I was just, you know, I mean, I was really scared.
Oh, man.
And probably 5 minutes went by, and a car drove by and stopped to see if everything was okay. And I said, no. And I said, it's not okay.
Yeah.
So they ended up, because my car was at the station, so they ended up driving me to the radio station then. And then I called the sheriff or whatever and say, hey, the van's stalled,
yeah.
But it was snowing. I mean, there wasn't much traffic that
and
night.
The next call was going to Joe Peters.
And so, yep, and then called Joe.
Yeah.
And so I think Monday we went out and, you know, we were able to start and
yeah.
get or whatever. But, yeah, those are...
What a time it was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. And when I went to work for WDIF, they had a beautiful van, a black van with beautiful indoor, you know, seats and everything. Man, this is really great. But it got old eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. 10:55 is the time. And let's see what else happened. Remotes. Oh, my goodness. Like you said, both of us were kind of like scared to death we wouldn't get through.
Yeah. And it really only, of all the games and stuff I did and the remotes, there may be two, maybe three at the most that we didn't get on
yeah,
for whatever
yeah.
reason.
That's something. And I remember, too, being up at Dave's Ford and doing a remote there. There was a storm brewing up in the west. I mean, the sky turned absolutely black. And there I am with an antenna on a van. And George Kaufman, who used to work at Jim Dugan's, was the salesperson.
I remember George.
Yeah. And I said, George, you got to get out there and hold my mast. It's going to blow over. And there goes poor George. I can still see him hanging onto the mast, and it's lightning, and it's a drencher for rain. And there's George with a suit on holding that mast as hard as he can. Oh, I'll never forget that one either. Oh, we made it through without him being electrocuted or struck by lightning.
But some of the things that you look back on and say, I can't believe we did that.
That's right. And one year, this was a DIF, I was broadcasting in the back end of a pickup truck at the fair, and lightning hit right next to me, and, enough of it struck me that it knocked the microphone out of my hand and maybe threw it 20 feet away from me, and that was as close as I ever came to being killed, you know. Mm. Oh, man. I was just inches away from being electrocuted. Wow. You think she did in radio.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. People never realized anything like that was going on. But being an engineer like I was, and you doing the same thing, we both have a lot of memories.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Oh, my. Well, the time is 10:58. Now, here's my question that I want to put you in the drawing, and if you won before, that's fine. You can win again. I'll put your name in. And I wanted to know the name of that automotive parts store south of Emmanuel Lutheran Church on the other side of the, right near where Martha Douse lived. And Martha's mother used to call me and say, Charlie, my radio, well, first of all, she wanted a scanner. So she gave me the money to buy a scanner. And at that time, there weren't any automatic scanners. You had to dial in the frequencies you wanted. And so I bought the scanner, dialed it up, and then about every week she would call me up and say, Charlie, would you come down? I need to have you tune this up again. That was Martha's mother. And her dad, Martha's dad, sold or rented trailers. I don't know, camping trailers or whatever, but that was a long time ago. Everything was a long time
ago. It was, yep.
Yeah. Even what we're doing right now will be a long time ago. Tomorrow. Okay, it's 10:59. Hang in there, folks. We'll be back at around 11:15.
WGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy. Is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell. With it,
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forgot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
never asked